Ready?
I'm ready.
Doug, you ready?
All right, we're gonna call this meeting to order. Motion to approve the minutes from the July 21st meeting.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to approve the budget actual report for the month of July.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to approve the payment of bills from the July 23rd, 25th, and August 11th abstracts.
Motion.
Second.
Favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Kate, you're up.
Yes, thank you. So, good evening. Last month at the Cloud Rock Town Board meeting, Supervisor Kiki Wygo told us that a wireless provider is seeking a location for a cell tower in our midst. I know of two residents who were approached about leasing out property for this purpose. One of them is at the eastern end of Roxbury, just outside the border of Philmont downtown, in Mellonville, which is within Cloud Rock. Also, some confused information gave me and others a scare that a cell tower was being approved for behind our Cloud Rock town office, right at our town park on Church Street, where we go to seek respite from these wireless radiations. But that tower is to be behind Valacious town offices on their Church Street. But in light of these developments, we need to know that the Cloud Rock zoning laws only require a setback of 1.5 times the height of a tower from height of a proposed tower. This means that a tower 120 feet tall could be a mere 180 feet away from your residence. And the Cloud Rock laws include nothing at all concerning the installation of small cell 5G antennas on poles in our neighborhoods, emitting near-range wireless radiation into windows and streets. And furthermore, our Philmont local laws contain nothing at all concerning telecommunications infrastructures. Just imagine how your life would change if, with few or no restrictions, a tower or small cell were approved for where you are. What will happen to the value of your property and adjacent properties? Values go down when towers and small cells are installed, and more people are becoming afflicted with electromagnetic radiation syndrome, EMR-S, from escalating exposures to wireless. The biological effects are many and profound. They are also reproductive. What can we do? Key features of the 1996 Telecom Act stipulate what municipalities may and may not do in regulating the installation of wireless telecommunication structures. Five things we may not do are: unreasonably discriminate among providers. Two, prohibit the provision of personal wireless services. And note that this pertains to personal cellular services, not to broadband and streaming. Three, fail to act on an application within a reasonable time. Four, deny an application without a written record of evidence. And five, regulate placement, construction, or modification of a wireless facility based on environmental effects of RF radio frequency emissions. Environment here is taken to include health. This nasty restriction remains the case until Congress retracts Section 704 of the Telecom Act. What we may do, we are allowed to enact requirements that are not on the basis of health. We are allowed to monitor and regulate the wireless RF emissions in accord with the standards set by the FCC, however egregiously high those standards and dangerous those standards actually are. It is urgent and imperative that we get to work on updating our zoning laws in Klaverach and Hillmont. We have so much to gain in our quality of life by doing so. Short, excellent primer sheets are posted at AmericansForResponsibleTechnology.org. Click the toolkit button and then municipal codes. And I brought this display again, the impact of the iPhones on our blood. And this is more and more being affirmed by more studies. These cell radiations are not good to have more of.
I have a question. One of the things I was hearing is that there is an FCC regulation against these emissions. Is that accurate?
There's an FCC, so they are the ones put in charge of setting the standards of how much emissions. And last month I showed you a chart where it shows the sky high standards. And how, like in Russia, the standards are way lower and the cell phones still work. There's no need for this astronomical, the way the technology is developed. But the other thing and answer is that the stipulation in this section 704 of the Telecom Act says that municipalities may not make their determination to deny a provider's application on the basis of environment, which is taken to subsume health. And there is a move now, 704nomore.org, that's working to get that language out of there because that is absolutely
I guess my
important.
Question was related to that even though it's astronomical, as you say, there is a regulation, there is some existing regulation coming from the federal government
yes.
about emissions.
That's
in play in Philmont.
And what it is that the municipalities need to have it written into their code that the provider is to pay for annual, unannounced examinations of the radio frequency emissions.
Mm-hmm.
And because typically the companies don't respect these limits.
Okay,
and
but without having an additional regulations in our municipal laws, we are subject to
yeah.
FCC regulations.
Yeah. Well,
and so until they are when they are changed, we will be subject to them as well, when
yes.
or if they change.
That would be
okay.
true. And it might require extra legal help so that the lawyer would know how to handle this segue with the federal and the state. But as it stands, Philmont has no regulations regarding telecommunications, so we're
well. That was
us.
My point. We have the federal one. We are covered by the federal one.
Only as regards that. So far as I know, only as regards that astronomical emissions.
Right.
And we don't have anything that requires these providers to pay for annual examinations to make sure that they're abiding by that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's absolutely not enough. And Klaverach has some good provisions, but it's not enough. See, we have no setbacks. They could literally, you'd have to approve whatever, wherever they want to put it. That's not right. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Since there's nobody else signed up to talk.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk on behalf of the public tonight. Philmont's had a 4-month, to say the least. Number one, we have an issue with cars parking on Main Street for more than the time allotted. It's an hour and a half parking on Main Street, 90-minute parking. And people have taken business away from the businesses that are open on Main Street, what few there are. So we have to do something. Unfortunately, the police chief isn't here, nor the attorney is not here. So the only thing that I can say about that is that Doug and I will speak with the police chief and we'll speak with the attorney and something will get rectified. The 90-minute parking will be enforced. It's not, not private parking for Geller's apartments. I will call him tomorrow and tell him that. Something's gotta be done, and we know that. And thank you for bringing it to our attention. So we're gonna call Zobel tomorrow, or tonight, before we leave. We'll set up a meeting with him tomorrow.
Yep.
And we'll make sure our signs are legal, and I will call Phil Geller tomorrow to tell his tenants that it's not their private parking. Issue number two. So it seems as though we have a group of unruly children, I'll call them, throwing things at cars, throwing things at people. We get this once every few years. It happens once every few years. I can't speak for the rest of the board, but I'm not going to tolerate it anymore. Something's got to be done. I don't know what we can do. I know what we can do. I mean, we can have our police force on more until this problem gets solved. As far as the graffiti on the library, that's not going to be tolerated. The complaint was filed by the library board, and our board will also file a complaint with the sheriffs and the troopers. Now, when we had an issue with narcotics in Philmont in the past, Doug and I were on the phone with the sheriffs and the troopers, and we met with them. Things seemed to calm down after we met with them. They flooded the village for a while. Maybe that's what we do. We just have another meeting with the sheriffs and the troopers, and we'll flood the village for a while. That's the only thing we can do, because if the parents aren't going to take care of their children, somebody has to. It was one of my goals when I first became mayor that nobody was going to be afraid to walk from Pine Haven to Bullocks. It's getting back to the point where people are afraid again. Yeah.
I happen to have somebody that come in and got garbage stickers tonight, and he goes to work at like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. So him and his wife, they walk the dog because he doesn't want her to go out by himself, because 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, these kids are out.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of them in the alleyways and all over. And so that was just mentioned to me tonight.
We do have a curfew law. We have.
Yeah. Now is there a curfew that can be?
We do have one. We have one in place, but, you know, up until the past few years, it's been fine.
Well, it has. I know.
Kids are going to be kids, but they don't have to be destructive, and they don't have to hurt people.
Is there a number I could call? I hear noise in the street late hours in front of my house. It's disturbing, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't need to happen. Is there a number I can call if that happens?
You can call the 672-4000 number, and they'll roll you over to the sheriffs. If our cops aren't on, they'll roll you over to the sheriffs.
So what number is that?
The sheriffs are 828-3344.
518-672-4000.
It should be on the website.
Is this office? It's on our website.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. So we have noticed, and we will work on the problem. Yes?
Yeah, my name is Mr. Carl Stickle. I was walking down the street. This kid came up to me, take my picture, and he said, now I know who you are. Now my friend know who you are. He walked by me. This kid did.
Yeah. That won't be tolerated anymore. All right.
One more.
Yeah, I want to address this from the point of view of a community where there is really nothing for the young people in this village. If they don't have resources, they don't have cars, for the most part, they don't have money.
That's not an excuse for what they're doing.
No, it is not.
Not at all.
And I agree. And fast forward, I've been working on this idea for a long time, that there is that trip center
couldn't that be converted into a teen center supervised in the evenings? A place where the kids could get together and have a place?
I'm gonna say no, because that's a county-owned building. We don't own that.
So no discussion with the county level?
They won't come in.
We have actually talked with the county about that building, and they are maybe in the process of moving facility, or the, no, the food, Meals on Wheels is in the process of moving. You know, we've expressed a desire, some of us have expressed a desire, so far, nothing's happened
maybe,
with that.
Maybe
there's,
we just have to keep reiterating.
Yeah, but then we also have to find a, you know, an organization to implement, you know, to run the program. There are some other ideas, you know, some of the DRI program, you know, we're thinking of, we are in the process of applying for a DRI. There's some talk about, you know, like maybe one of the projects would have, something I've seen that's very successful in municipalities is like outdoor gym equipment is very popular. And then there's also, you know, a project proposal. And again, these are just proposals and ideas. So I just want you to know there are ideas out there and things being pitched for like a youth training program in digital technology. And so we'll, you know, it's a slow process, and that's a good idea what you're talking about.
I was in New York City when Mayor Lindsay was mayor, and it was during the time when there were riots and trouble frequently, and he organized a program where the older youth could supervise groups of the younger ones and spend an afternoon talking to them, finding ways to be good citizens, you know.
Yeah. Well, we had some, and also we had a program that tried to implement, the spot that Roxanne Wilkins ran for a couple of years, tried to implement that, and there wasn't a lot of buy-in. So, you know, it's, people are trying.
And Julie has had, you know, trying to get programs, and half the time she has to cancel them because nobody comes.
Right.
This
so
is up at the lake.
The community center.
Yeah.
These kids that are doing this stuff, I'm just speaking as somebody who taught these kids for 37 years, are not going to come to any programs. Their parents need to be held accountable, and they need to be held accountable.
But the mayor just finished saying there's nothing they can do with the parents. How do you hold them accountable?
We have to figure it out between the attorney and the police chief and the troopers. And enforcement
is a last resort. I just want to say.
We've got to go for enforcement.
Yep. All right.
Unfortunately.
On to committees. Clerk Treasury report.
Delinquent tax notice for current and prior years were made out. Had a lot of notaries. Finalized the UGSEU agreement with Mike Cuckney. Certified letters for delinquent water and sewer users will be mailed tomorrow. Water turnoff will be September 16th. Compiled a lot of reports for Bob Patterson for the year-end financial report. Order items for the community center grant, provided the receipts for Julie for the submission for the grant. Worked with the library and Rob to get the process of them switching to handing their own financials started and going moving along. The office will be closed September 1st for Labor Day.
Thanks. Library.
So the spillover of the youth activity is obviously in full effect in the library. And I just wanted to add that if you do have more, you know, presence, it's like 2 a.m. is the time. It's like they know when the police go off duty. And I understand your point, Victoria. I have spoken to these kids because they love to hang out in the pavilion and smoke and do everything. And I've invited them in, said there's air conditioning inside, computers, We have games. They're not interested.
Yeah.
They're rude. They throw language around that's like abusive. I've had a lot of patrons come in and they talk to me about the noise that they hear on Summit, and one person actually bravely went out at 2:30 in the morning and felt scared afterwards and went back in because the youth were so aggressive towards her. So I love the idea that there's a place for them to be and do things, but having them constantly in the library outside area and not wanting to participate no matter what kind of program you come up with is very frustrating. And I have the honor of trying to bring people in, and you know, looking at my numbers this month, it was amazing. I had like almost 1,200 people because we brought the summer reading program back. And there's a lot of people who want to be there, but I worked in Claverick, and I know that a lot of people who live here in Philmont go to the Claverick Library because they don't want to go into that parking lot and they don't want to deal with the kids and stuff. So it's like this fine line of bringing people in. They live here already, but then they like see Philmont being Philmont. I'm just going to put it like that. back to my report. Jason, thank you for taking care of that battery.
Still in my yard. I'll get it out this week.
Just move to another place. I won't even discuss the battered dishes that I had to like clean up because I dealt with it with the girls who I saw did it. On to positive things. Like I said, the summer reading program was great. We had 30 people at the kickoff. It was really fun having different people like Victoria and Ottavio and locals coming in and doing the programming instead of me reaching out to someone in Poughkeepsie or 2 hours away, and they come in and charge me $300 to do something that's not that great. Anyway, we have a new show up, also locals. Like one person lives on Summit, one lives across the street. It's great. We've had, Mid-Hudson's been doing this road trip for all the libraries where they have this map and you visit all 70 libraries, and Philmont is on that list.
Aren't we the last one?
We're not the last one. So it depends on where people are, but it brought in 111 people. So people who've never been to Philmont, and then they go to High Falls for lunch. Like, it's actually bringing in business.
Cool.
I think it's a great idea, and people see Philmont, and they always have something nice to say. And we actually had the first person who finished all 70 libraries in our library finish. And so that photo with me and Phil, the dinosaur, and this person made the rounds and made like podcasts. It was kind of cool, like this little viral moment. So these are all the things that are kind of happening there at the library. Starting tonight, actually, we had this woman who is a speech pathologist who has volunteered her time to work with 0 to 5 year olds. So if anyone, like, spread the word. She's amazing. She is in high demand. She's going to put the word out to different, you know, social services and stuff that we're here, because a lot of the kids are here, but nobody made it tonight.
I didn't know that.
One of those moments. Yeah, and if anyone has any advice, I do the newsletter. We have it coming out twice a month. Yes.
If you send me a square picture,
yeah,
and the data, I'll post it on the website and I'll send it out to Philmont neighbors.
Yeah.
And
I put one up at McMahon's and we did the post office, and I splash it, but I'm going to do more. I'm going to do like a press release. Anyway, so that's what's going on. Tomorrow's our summer wrap-up reading party where we're going to have ice cream. And I am going to do a raffle draw, which we had a lot of adults do our raffle, which is every book they read, they wrote it down, whether they'd recommend it or not. You didn't know about this either. I got to get the word out somehow more. Anyway, it was really fun, and they're going to win one tote bag with like a book certificate and reading light, et cetera, et cetera. And that is it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Community Center, Mr. Crawford.
Okay, Julie's report for July. The facility was checked and everything was found to be in order. The scout leaders, Girl Scouts, Cub Scouts, they meet at the center. Under the grants, she wrote 2 picnic tables were assembled and delivered by DPW. She thanks them. One more table is being ordered for use by the basketball court since one of the two originals walked over there. Research on the best way to secure the tables is ongoing. Additionally, an exterior poster display case and a whiteboard have been received. At the time of this writing, she's waiting for DPW to get permission to move the items from the office to the center. That has happened. Program's defensive driving class was canceled due to lack of enrollment. Looking around the community, she says, it seems that folks just prefer to stay at home in the AC or remain prisoners of their own device, AKA the cell phone. So she's thanking the DPW for all of their help, especially David Felis, and she thanks Deb Gitterman for the lead on the Philmont Community Group, Jess and Chrissy for always being able and willing to help her out. She thanks me for assisting with the DPW chain of command, and that's it.
Thanks. Sally?
Oh, okay. Hi, everybody. So you've got the written report. So last month, as you know, we did not have to have a meeting because of the CFA grant deadline, which was right up against that end of the month meeting. So we made the deadline three days ahead. It was a big grant, right, as you know. Applying for the engineering, basically all of the engineering and site studies that need to be done for the Canal Street parking lot sites and the community centre site and the lakefront. The zoning analysis, which, by the way, I sent the email that you sent about the power, you know, the tower,
mm-hmm.
I sent to the zoning committee that are working on the rezoning, so they know.
Okay.
And that's under Nan Stocksberg with Steve Benson.
Oh.
So they are looking at all of these things, and Nan is, you know, she's a great planner,
okay.
And she's and that committee is under the borough grant, you know, the mayor appointed Steve Benson to head up that, and they're going to do some pretty, you know, sophisticated work there, and then make recommendations for zoning changes for the village. So the report last month was that for that project under the borough, it's zoning analysis and recommendations. They held a meeting in July, and the work is progressing really well with their committee. The watershed project, since the public hearing in Clavrat Library, which was excellent, Labella is holding a meeting this Wednesday, or anybody's, you know, if anybody wants to attend it on the Zoom, just contact me. It's the WAC committee, it's the Watershed Advisory Committee, so that's all the towns that are involved. You know, Austerlitz, Hillsdale, Ghent, Clavrat, Philmont's the lead. So that's 7 o'clock on Wednesday. And Lavella's going to be looking at recommendations. So they've done that whole chapter, which you can read, anybody can read, it's up on the website, the village website, under the watershed. And they're now moving on to watershed recommendations. What do they think, you know, should be addressed in the watershed? All of this counts, of course, because what's happening in the watershed is what is realized in the lake. Until we heal what's happening in the watershed, we're not going to be able to, you know, heal the lake. So they're going to come up with their recommendations. That's the next chunk of work. That meeting's on Wednesday. Then they'll start working on those recommendations. And then the DRI project. July was basically spent doing the CFA. I mean, it's a huge application. So I didn't really have any time during July to, you know, to do any, you know, in-depth development with the properties, the proposals that have come in. And, you know, we did an open call. We got 17 proposals. now we've got to do more. We've got to take the next step. More flyers needs to go out. More people in the village need to know that the village is doing, that we're doing a DRI. So we're going to be posting that. I'm thinking that we might use the PV Inc. building and have it open on weekends, you know, for walk-ins, so that people in the community can actually learn what a DRI is, feed in, they have ideas. What do you think about that as a board?
Far away.
Right? Yeah?
DRI stands for what?
DRI is Downtown Revitalization Initiative.
Downtown.
So it's a Downtown Revitalization Initiative. It's a $10 million grant to the village. So it's a fairly competitive, but it's also $10 million that would make, you know, a big impact working with the state. So obviously highly competitive, but it needs to have, if we're going to do it, and with, you know, the proposals that came in are very interesting, a lot on Main Street. So the village, if we've got a DRI, you see vast improvements in terms of the buildings on Main Street. The parking lot, the mill has come in, they need additional VAT money, the Canal Street parking lot. Probably not the community centre because we're not ready to do that yet. We've still got site investigations, engineering, perk testing to do before we can apply for construction there. So it'll make a very big impression, you know, impact in Philmont. So housing is premium in that DRI. So, you know, the question now is work with the 17 proposals that have come in, get them, you know, into more developed state to be able to see overlap, how many housing projects have we got in from everybody. So that's what August is going to be spent doing. And we were going to do an exhibition. Rain and I didn't communicate that well. but in the end, it was too, when putting the posters together, large format posters, we didn't have enough development work done on the 17 proposals that have come in. And when compared to 5 years of work done on the mill and 5 years of work on the Canal Street, it was looking biased. And I felt very nervous about doing that and putting that in front of the community, because it would look like, it could look like it was biased towards those big projects. So it was like actually doing that whole process of trying to put the posters together for it was actually really instructive, and it was like actually this would, we're not ready to take it on, you know, in an exhibition format to the community. More development has to be done. More buy-in has to be, you know, people in the community, you know. You've got 120 people that know about the DRI, but Broadside community, I would say, you know, probably only 20 people in the community know that it's on the table. So that's not good enough to actually do an exhibition. I think it would have built a lot of hostility. So it withdrew from doing that. And Rain was pleased.
Well, didn't have it on the calendar.
She didn't have it on the calendar anyway. So as it turns out, I thought it was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be saying we're not going to do the exhibition. And when I called Rain, she said, Sally, I don't have it on the calendar anyway. It was like, great. So, you know, angels came down and helped there. And then the historic district, no, I don't have any updates for July. We haven't had any new phone calls from anybody for assistance. One more thing. So the briefing sheets, yeah, did you get those? Did you have those?
I know we have a report. But I don't know for
did you get?
Yeah, I know.
Did they all get those?
Yes.
So the briefing sheet, but a couple on the table if anybody wants to look at these. So this goes out to regional council members, 20 regional council members. We're going to mail it instead of doing email, because emails don't get the impact. And I'm suggesting that we write a one paragraph letter to all of each one of those. I don't mind preparing them if they can go on village letterhead and the mayor would have to sign 20 letters. But if you want the money, I would, that would be my recommendation would be, you know, apart from we're gonna mail this anyway, but having a letter from the village would probably cement the grant for you. So up to you. I don't know if you have to do a motion, if you're willing to do that. I don't mind setting it all up.
We can just do the letter.
Do the letter. Great. Okay, so I'll write the letter and we'll coordinate.
Mm-hmm.
Do it tomorrow. Okay, awesome. Thank you.
One more follow-up question. Sally, do you want to get the, can we get the WAC meeting on the website with a, under events, you know, the a calendar item for the WAC meeting with a email
yeah.
Sally Baker if you're interested, or email
yeah.
PB Inc.
We could do that. I would prefer, I tell you what, now that we've got the characterization, right, there it is on the village website, you know, we worked on that, right? What I would prefer to do is this meeting on Wednesday, I can float it to that committee, because you're talking about, you know, all the, you know, that partnership that the village have. I'd like to ask them if they would mind
Great.
First before we do that, Deborah, just because they're,
yeah.
they are the committee, of, you know, there are 21 people there, right?
Yeah.
And then if they don't mind, now is the time to, you know, the, we have to do the outreach, not only in Philmont, but in Hillsdale, all of those towns, you know. So I'm going to propose that that's going to go not just on Philmont, but in Hillsdale, Australia. So can we do that?
Sure.
Get that, and then give it to you. Okay, awesome.
Mr. Payne.
Yes, for comments, Mark. So we meet this Wednesday, so is that too much to update as far as the meetings go? But the update on the consolidated funding application, we did make the deadline for the natural resource inventory, and that's in collaboration with CLABRA, but the Village of Philmont would be the lead agency for that. So as Sally mentioned, that's a bear of an application, but we managed to get it in. There was one inquiry on it, which meant they didn't have to receive it, but it was just a general thing of something they had forgotten that we had to answer. And when do they make a decision?
Oh, you submitted CFC that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
So when do they make a decision?
You know, they normally announce them at the beginning of December.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I understood it was to begin in the new year.
Even though you didn't get a resolution from the village?
We did. That was a misunderstanding. We did get a resolution. I don't know who spread that.
Oh.
We got a resolution. We did a resolution.
Yeah.
You did a resolution?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But somehow work got out that it wasn't done. I don't know who was spreading that.
Okay.
But we got through it all.
Yeah. Calvert did one and we did one. We
yeah.
did the same
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely. Those were submitted.
Yeah.
Actually, that was
yeah.
last month.
Yeah.
It was probably confusion because there was another resolution that wasn't going to go through last month.
Okay, so
that
I'm confused. So the application you're talking about was for the CFA? No.
Yeah.
There is a Climate Smart Actions portion of the consolidated funding application. So an application went into that specific category under the CFA. And there were resolutions covering it all.
It was for the natural resource inventory.
Right.
There was another resolution proposed last month that failed.
Which was associated with what?
It was a second application under that same category.
Oh, I see. That's the confusion.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't spoken to anybody. I just sit here and... But I was confused, so I'm glad to know that you...
Everything's above board.
Oh, no, I'm not questioning it. I'm just asking for clarification.
So that would be great if that has come in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we're... And the match would be through volunteer hours, but I had to write up a whole chart showing 14 people on this chart. So related to that, the funding we did receive from the Partners for Climate Action for the appreciation of the natural surroundings in the in Clavreck and how they can be enhanced. So Mayor Johnson attended that first meeting. There were several things that several of us, both from Clavreck and Kilmont, that we didn't like about that meeting. So we're trying to discuss with them how we can continue. And what we think the main issue was is there was a mismatch in the demographics of Clavreck and Philmont, which has quite a mix just with those two, but then putting in where the grantors were coming from, I think they were not quite addressing the demographic we have here.
Not even close.
Okay.
What did you say?
Not even
close. Not even close.
So
you left at the right time.
Yes, I did.
Oh dear. Oh my goodness.
So, however, because of the candidate we have that's been pushing this and the volunteers, we've made some headway in the right direction. So we're still discussing it, and Deborah might be able to, Deborah's been very involved in this. She might be able to say more about it. But we'll, there are two choices where we will just simply withdraw, but continue from what we've already put together. And we'll continue on our own. Or we may convince them to continue the way we want to do it, and they'll still give us some money. Is that, did I say that right?
You did, yes.
Okay.
And we will be meeting with them tomorrow, and Tom and Anya and I will be meeting with them tomorrow, and so we will know whether we're going to respectfully withdraw from the program, or if there's a way we can continue. And if we don't continue with them, as Tom was saying, we put our heads together with Clavreck and Philmont, and everyone seems very motivated to begin almost like a listening campaign to just have conversations, even one-on-one, with our neighbors and people in the communities about our experiences in Philmont, our relationships with environments, and what our thoughts are about the landscape and what we might want to happen. So, is that?
To put that into concrete terms, our last meeting, the six key people that are working on this, you each agreed to get five people that we will interview to start collecting these stories and listening. How much time do you spend outside? What do you like about it? What don't you like about it? Just basic questions, and to pull that all together through what will be, I believe, a very mix, a strong mix, because you'll have people who are interested in fishing, and you'll have people who are interested in Buddhism, and they're going to take in the environment in very different ways. We want to get all of those stories together in one place.
Well, my vote's for the first one. I think Anya's a pretty good person.
Yeah.
She's got a good head on her shoulders, and she knows what she wants to get done. I think you let her run with it. That's my vote.
What do you mean by the first one?
Community-based one.
Yeah.
Right. But you have to understand, she was getting paid, not a whole lot. She was getting paid something, so if there's no money there.
I think she's, it wouldn't matter to her whether she got paid or not. Not from the conversation I had with her.
Can I speak to this?
No, this is Climate Smart.
I want to speak to it. She really struggles with childcare, with all the other jobs she's doing. So you can't just push it off and say she'll do it. She absolutely wants to do it anyway, because she loves the community.
Yes.
Will she physically be able to do it? I don't know
if she's physically able to do it, but she could. conversation that I had with her before everybody got there. There's no doubt in my mind.
Okay, no, good. I mean, we're
Brian will babysit for her.
Okay.
My wife didn't let me touch my daughter until she was 11.
There's a pocket of money that's available that could pay her. That's what I was trying to add here. Under the LWRP.
Hmm, interesting.
And there's about $6,000 or $7,000 that we could work to help. That's what I was offering.
Cool.
All right.
So is that something I have your permission to mention to Anya?
Yes, absolutely. We, you know, I'd have to negotiate it with the DOS, but if what I've understood from here is that is to do with the outreach and, you know, aimed at those things, it's a transferable amount of money. Yes.
Okay. And
right.
Brian, if there's that money available through that grant, you know, not excessively, but just to help her with childcare if she needs it, are you down with
make
me?
Make the proposal and bring it back to the board.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right, yeah, because we'll need some of it to do the events also. We
yeah.
have
yeah.
one
yes.
or two events.
And that would be fine. That money is for
okay.
that. So I'm just
great.
Offering that there's something that we could work with. You know, $6,000 or $7,000, so it's not to be sneezed at, yeah?
Just pull your wallet out next time, then I'll understand what you're talking about.
Okay, my wallet?
Okay.
I'll get a dollar sign.
Then this building, so I now have spoke once with Danforth, that is a design build. He's also, that organization also does job order contracting. It's some kind of New York State rule. If you combine the purchasing of what you're doing with other contracts that are already undergoing in the state, you get the benefits of volume benefits. And those savings are passed on. And this is a company that works, is already established in working in that way. So I'm meeting with him again on Zoom to figure out how to put all of that together for the work that has to get done in this building. One very good sign was Senator Hinchey's office reached out to me. I didn't go to them, they reached out to me to find out where this stands. So with that information, I pushed the consultant, who's very close to being done on his decarbonization study, and I also will push Danforth for them to come up with an estimate of what their work will cost to pull this all together. But keep in mind, even with Senator Hinchey's interest, it's not going to cover everything, but at least it's a start.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what it is. And then we are still going ahead with now with the food scrap pickup, we're going back to trying to use now the Cloud Rock DPW, just looking for a small grant to cover the costs of the containers and the promotion, and try and do it through the DPW. So, and I think that's it for the moment.
Thanks. I kind of said what I had to say earlier in the meeting. Like I said, it's been a poor month for Fillmont. We'll get it back. There seems to be an issue with the water tower.
What?
It's an electrical issue. The transducer in the tower is not reading what the transducer at the wells read, and it's been kind of a mess this month. We haven't run out of water yet, but the tank's been very close a couple times. Cliff and Ed Harkin and Smith Controls, We're supposed to be up there today to get something figured out. I haven't seen Cliff since I saw him this morning. I will see him tomorrow morning and I'll find out, but it'll be back to normal soon enough. I think I met with the library this month. We have one this month.
Mm-hmm.
And who else did we meet with? Oh, Jason and I have been meeting with the code enforcement team. Trying to get some issues ironed out. Other than that, I don't have anything else. Mr. Cropper.
Okay, I haven't been as busy this past month due to being in the Adirondacks and dealing with some grandchildren that came for a week. So that was okay though. But I was able to do some property checks and found no issues on the properties I checked. Went to the workshop meeting, and I think it would be appropriate to thank our brother and sister firefighters in Melville for the excellent convention that they did. I was able to get to that, and they did a great job. Yeah, so thank you, Jess, because you're in Melville. That's it, Brian.
Jason? Two quick things. I had a meeting with the CLC, the Columbia Land Conservancy, about high falls situation, make sure they understand that we're having some minor issues at this point that could become major issues. I'll continue to write a narrative. They canceled the meeting, but I'm going to write a narrative and I'll send it to you guys. I'll send it along to them too, in case you have anything else you want to add to the situation. First and foremost, absolving us of liability, and secondly, making sure everyone's safe that does enter that property. So if we need more road signs or something like that, I'm expecting them to make that recommendation. I went and needed those things at the community center, by the deer hill stuff I put in. So I'm going to put some deer-proof stuff, except for the mint. They need to get
yeah,
right.
And this
there's
got to
be something.
There's nothing.
We'll see. Proof. I'm hoping to prove you wrong. We'll see. And then that's all I got to report for this month.
Thanks. Mr. Speed.
Yes. Louie and Jimmy have been talking. They're setting up sidewalks for replacement. They're going to let me know which ones they think should be replaced. I talked to Vern in the police department about parking on Main Street. And half of July I was on vacation, so I didn't get a chance to do too much the second half.
You're entitled.
Yep.
Where'd you go this time?
Over with.
Oh, interesting. Deborah?
Were we going to continue down Maple with the changes, or they're just going to reevaluate and see?
They're waiting because they're going to eventually Maple's going to be blacktopped. So we're trying to hold
trying
off
to hold
until
on.
They get through blacktop and before doing more sidewalks.
Gotcha. Okay. this week I attended the board workshop, the July Climate Smart meeting, and the Funding Futures August 3rd meeting, and had a lot of conversations with Tom and Anna regarding.
Fire department. 15 calls for the month. She's not here right now. 15 calls for the month of importance and note. Our Park Food Hollow Valley store. We're only down to one of those a month, which is acceptable. We had a fire in Philmont on July 24th behind 33 Main Street. There was a mutually structured fire in Ghent, 248 Harder Road, that we attended and provided water for. So far we have 63 calls for the year, 63 fire calls for the year, 40 EMS, 103 total. We had our funeral service for our safety officer Kevin G. Grau on July 19th. We had the convention meeting, which was, again, incredible, and I appreciate all the hard work you guys did, so thank you for that. And then there's a memorial service at Cloudlake Town Park on August 3rd with 8 members. That's all.
Thanks. Correspondence list is on the table. Hard copies are in the office. Motions and resolutions.
Motion to enforce the water turnoff law and take action against delinquent water users.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to reimburse Clifford Albright in the amount of $23.98 for the purchase of jeans per the UPSCU bargaining agreement.
Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to declare that Mayor Johnson has conducted the required examination of the Village of Philmont Justice Court records for fiscal year 2024
to
2025.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unfinished and new.
Can I just have one short thing on Climate Smart?
Yeah.
So the bill that's due, is that something else I have to do that I sent you? You don't know anything about it, okay, I'll send it again.
Okay.
So the consultant is looking to get an interim payment. I think I had sent that a while ago.
Wait, yeah, follow up with me, because we might have already paid it for the last month or something.
Okay, and then what's the procedure? It just, that just goes to you, it's all, okay.
Yeah, if we need to pay it, we can pay the workshop, so just make sure I follow up.
Okay, got it, okay. Thank you.
All right, unfinished and new?
Nope.
All right.
You doing the new motion? You want me to do it?
Sure.
Okay.
Motion to go to executive session to discuss the employment history of particular persons or people.
All right, but before we go that, in case you guys aren't around, I'd like a moment of silence for Skippy Jones. She's an auxiliary member. All right, we're gonna go into executive session and we'll be back.
okay.
Oh, you're. No, we just gotta, we just gotta make a motion to adjourn.